Extremely passionate, extremely knowledgeable. I think they want to win, and they show up here every night and supporting the players. It's great to see, and the life in the building, it's pretty special here.
That is Canucks general manager Patrick Alvin speaking about the support from the fans, the passion, the energy that they're bringing right now as this Canucks season continues. Alvin, of course, signing a 3-year extension as general manager of the Vancouver Canucks earlier today, and that was from his press conference. It is Canucks talk here on Sportsnet 650, Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber, with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, or Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver online at DunbarLumber.com. The iconic Coors Light Chill Train is heading to Las Vegas for the big game, and it just made a stop in Vancouver, leaving behind a trail of epic prizes. On February 1st and 2nd from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m., look for its frozen tracks at Robson Square for a chance to win instant prizes that deliver big game day chill, or the ultimate grand prize, a trip to next year's big game event. Learn more at CoorsLight.ca/thechilltrain.
Do you think the big game event is the NFL's championship game?
Oh, one can only speculate.
No, it's NHL All-Star.
Of course.
Sorry,
yeah.
Sorry.
What every patriotic Canadian is celebrating.
Sorry to the hardos out there.
Yeah, no, I think you might be onto something. Is that in Las Vegas this year?
Yes.
I know, I'm joking. I know it is.
I get everyone defaults to big game, but like, why not football's championship? Why is it the big game?
Yeah.
It's the big game. It's the Super Bowl.
Is it even like...
It's watched by 120 million people.
No, but I understand. I'm talking about how people, you can't, or at least there's the perception that you can't say the Super Bowl. I guess
if you don't pay for the rights to the
name.
Well,
I guess, no, but like we can.
Yeah, but the contest can't.
Yeah, but I guess if you're running a contest, you can't do that.
Got it.
But like, I think even, you see even restaurants.
The super big game.
But like the restaurant could just say, we're showing the Super Bowl. They don't have to pretend. You know what I mean? At least I don't think. Don't take this as legal advice if you're a restaurant owner out there. But that's my sense of it.
The big match against Kansas City, and you know, yeah.
Because you'll say like, hey, we're showing the Premier League. And it's like, well, they're not a partner of the Premier League. They don't have to be like, we'll show English football on, you know, like you could just say the thing.
Yeah.
But you're right. We have decided to just all go with the big game. Speak obliquely about it.
I prefer grand final.
The grand final, the cup final of the NFL. Okay, we will do it. I promised you that it was going to be at the 1 o'clock segment. Dom told me that was not going to happen, so we'll do it now. I lied to you, the listener. I'm very sorry about that, but normally we do it in our first segment. Because of the crossover, we kick it to this segment now on Wednesday. Let's do the whiteboard.
All right, now, fellas, hey, let's focus up, huh?
Your daily deep dive into what's up with the Canucks for today, January 31st, the final day of January, starting with the headlines, of course, dominated today by the news, as mentioned and as we've discussed at length on the show, that Patrick Alvin signs a multi-year extension as general manager, 3-year extension of the Vancouver Canucks. And he met with media to talk about that and talk about some other things going on with his team earlier today. And, you know, we talked about it earlier in the show. We won't dwell on it too much here on the whiteboard, Drancer. But one, I mean, no surprise, after Jim Rutherford got his extension and we had heard the reports that this was in the works, we should be on the lookout for this. And then, as Don Taylor made the point on the crossover as well, even just looking at his body of work and how the team has come together this season, no surprise whatsoever that Patrick Alvin earns this extension with the Canucks.
No, 3-year deal, get it done before the deadline. You know, much like with Rutherford, now you're fully aligned. There's no gaps in, you know, the contracts that middle management have, and no misalignment between the organization and their managers, their key managers. And in particular, as I noted, I think it's fascinating that the term is an exact match with what Rutherford signed and an exact match with the life of Quinn Hughes's sweetheart's second contract. I can't help but read something into that.
And of course, the other piece of this puzzle that's been so crucial to the Canucks turnaround this season, Rick Tocchet, and I don't know if it's going to happen pre-playoffs or it's going to be an off-season thing, but with Rutherford and Alvin both signed two extensions now, they, of course, brought Rick Tocchet in. It's paid incredible dividends for the team on the ice, so I would expect at some point, again, maybe not in the next few weeks or before the playoffs, maybe in the offseason, but at some point here, we will be talking about a Rick Tocchet extension, given the work that he has done with this team as well. On to the broadsheet and the rumor roundup here on the whiteboard for today. And look, there's still a ton of conversation out there about Nikita Zadorov, and I know Rick Dhaliwal, we talked about it a little bit with him on the crossover, right? Teams are calling, but then he also
this
said
this is the most oblique rumor we've had around the Canucks in a long time.
He also said, you know, the Canucks didn't like that it got out there. Dan Milstein's not happy. Dan Milstein says he's not getting traded. But as Dhaliwal said, you know, Elliot Friedman doesn't put things out there just by chance, so there's probably something to this as well. But I do think, not that this is, it's like, as Dhaliwal says, Friedman chooses his words very carefully, right? So there's something going on here, but this also feels like this is the only week where this could take up this much oxygen, right? Because there's not that much else going on, so we're glomming on to this a little bit. Having said that, I do think it's a very interesting potential strategy that they could go out and try. But Elliot Friedman was on with Halford and Brough earlier today on the morning show, and they asked him about Elias Pettersson and, you know, this idea that, hey, maybe he will sit down with his reps and, you know, they'll decide to start talks at some point during between now and the end of the year. And Elliot Friedman with some interesting insight on Elias Pettersson, his stance on contract negotiations. Here's what Friedman had to say.
I just don't think Pettersson likes it being this public. I really don't. I've learned a lot about Pettersson this year. And, you know, some of it is just the conversation we had on the boat in Sweden. And I've kind of made it a personal thing to find out as much as I can about him. And the thing that I've really learned about Pettersson is he doesn't like his words getting parsed. I think when you're like, you look at this thing with Tocchet and him last week, and, you know, Tocchet thinks he's giving an honest answer. And because it's Pettersson, he's your best player or one of your best players. I don't want the Quinn Hughes stands to be coming after me here. Because he's one of your best players and because it's Vancouver, you guys love your hockey, love your Canucks. It's a big conversation, right? And I think Tocchet has to realize what market he's in, but I also understand that he's trying to be honest and doesn't think it should turn into a fiasco when he's simply trying to be honest. It's the nature of the beast in a city like Vancouver, just like it is in a city like Toronto.
So that's Elliot Friedman, and he also goes on to say, you know, Pettersson just doesn't like getting his words parsed, right? And that's something that's driving the decision not to engage in negotiations with the Vancouver Canucks, despite the fact that, as Fried says on Halford and Brough, and as he has said repeatedly in other outlets, you know, the Canucks are ready to give him an awful lot of money whenever he decides that's the case. I did have to laugh, you know, hearing Elias Pettersson doesn't like getting his words parsed as I, you know, walk into work to go to the words parsing factory that I work at. It's like, well, sorry about that. And there is like, look, I get it.
We built a whole segment parsing Alvin's words today. We're the official word parsers.
That's what we do. Yeah. People say things and we react to it.
I honestly think it's been so long since the Canucks were this relevant that we're just struggling to adjust to it.
Mm.
I really think there's like an adjustment stage going on, because when a team is underperforming consistently in the specific way that this team did, right? Where it occasionally felt like the organization was in its own way, where every move, every transaction, every little bit of commentary was, and truly was, like indicative of meaningful process flaws, people would point it out and talk about it, right? And only the most navel-gazing version of the fans were still, like, locked in.
Mm-hmm.
And it made sense to handle things that way. But once you become what the Canucks seem to be at the moment, I do think it makes sense to, like, take a step back and try to have a little bit more perspective about certain things. Otherwise, you're going to exhaust yourself. Like, the idea that the Pettersson Tocchet thing was a fiasco.
Mm.
Like, I'm still looking for someone who covered it like it was like high it was drama. This,
yeah.
Like, I never saw it. I just never saw it. It sort of became a story because Tocchet was responding to a question, and he responded to the question's framing more than he responded
to any specific coverage.
Right, to something he'd, like, previously seen. The Zadorov thing, you know, there's, like, a couple oblique references. Like, the guy was benched 2 games before the All-Star break and then demoted to the third line. Like, it feels like there might be something there, but it also feels like we're just dragging out a coaching decision that probably would have passed within a game in terms of his deployment for 12 days because the Canucks don't play, you know? And then the Pettersson thing, how public it is. Even money is how I'd handicap it. Pettersson is asked more about his contract over the course of the next 5 days than he has been all season. The idea that, like, in Vancouver, doing this is extra hard. He was asked about it at training camp. A couple reporters have off record talked to him, like, hey, do you want to discuss this? There's this rumor out there. Do you want to, like, couple of us have tried that. Didn't want to talk about it. And then he was asked about it after it kind of blew up in the wake of some recent reporting, right? I've seen foreign media try, like Swedish media tried once when the club was in New York. 5 times in like 5 months to this point. You know, the idea that this has been some big distraction looming over him and like only in Vancouver, like I just don't think that holds water with the actual experience. This has actually been an extremely subdued process, all things told.
And I also think,
especially look, in this market,
there's nothing wrong with how Elias Pettersson is handling this situation. No. I want to make that very clear.
In fact, I think you can be impressed.
Like him choosing to wait, all of it is entirely within what he wants to do. There's no like moral valence to this or like, oh, this is bad. He's being bad or he's hurting the team or anything like that by doing it this way. But I also am struck by, okay, if like the idea that you can't possibly negotiate in season because it's going to blow up and become this distraction, I don't really buy that either. You know what I mean? Like, oh, my words are going to get out there and people are going to be picking through it. Like,
I don't either, except that he was distracted by it last time. And that was with a deal that he just signed. He felt pressure from that.
See, that to me makes more sense, right? That I don't want to have the new contract done in season because of my experience post signing the contract last time, rather than I don't want the negotiations to get out. Because again, everything we've heard from the Canucks, starting with Jim Rutherford, the ownership, everything from the insiders is the Canucks are willing to make a deal. They're willing to pay him an awful lot. They're willing for it to be whatever term he's most comfortable with. Like, I don't think this is going to be, this would have to be months of protracted negotiations between the two sides. I think it would be pretty easy to get something done in a hurry. So I don't necessarily buy the, well, you know, I can't possibly negotiate in this hothouse of a market, because I think you could get it done and out of the way pretty quickly. Now, your point about last time he signed a big deal and struggled right out of the gate, is he trying to avoid a repeat of that?
It did.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I mean, look, and I don't know.
Who knows?
He won't tell me,
ultimately,
so
is the
it's
thing.
Fine. And he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
I just don't think it's been a distraction, you know, and I do think there's like a limit to how much appetite we should have. And there isn't, but there should be a limit. I want to be clear here. There isn't, but I feel like there should be a limit to how much we discuss a story
that hasn't changed.
Any point developed since August.
Yeah. I mean, look,
at the very least, I'm going to keep qualifying it every time.
I agree with you. But when it's a player of his status who means this much to the team, of course you're going to talk about it. You know what I mean? Like, I think both things can be true, that there haven't really been any significant meaningful developments, although I will say, like, stasis for that long is a development in its own right, right? The fact that there isn't movement in any way is a development. Having said that, but, like, you're still going to talk about it just because it's such an incredibly pressing issue, right? Now, I do think this kind of this week and the media appearances in Toronto might represent a kind of final nail in the coffin for the updates, right? Because if he doesn't come out of this week saying, okay, I'm ready to, you know, I'm ready to negotiate, it's kind of like, well, it's definitely not going to happen until the offseason now. You know what I mean? Like, this is the last time it feels like where, oh, hey, I sat down with my reps in Toronto and we decided to come to the negotiating table. I'm not saying it's going to happen. I don't think it is. But I don't think there's even, like, a plausible time in the calendar you could point to after this where it might happen. You know what I mean?
Oh, man. We're, like, so we're going to just, like, try to kick the football one more time.
What do you mean?
That's, well, now we're going to wait for the debate, the update coming out of the All-Star
break.
Oh, no.
Break. I don't think it's going to happen.
Yes, we are. Yes, we are.
Well, some people are.
I'm telling you right now. That's how the story is going to evolve.
Of course it is.
Oh, man.
It's Elias Pettersson. He doesn't have a contract for next year. It's a huge story.
I'm not saying it shouldn't be. I'm just saying he's told us what he was going to do, and he's been doing it.
Yeah.
And we've been, it feels like the conversation, the discourse has been, do we not believe him?
No, but I do think it's worth noting that his agents have left the door open to negotiating in the season.
Mm-hmm.
That's the difference. Right? That's why it's not just, well, he said he would do it in the offseason, and what? Why is anyone expecting anything different? It's because his agents have said, well, we might be open to it.
An agent has never closed a door to, like, getting a crazy offer ever.
But agents can say, this is going to be, you know, we want to avoid distraction. We're going to talk,
no,
we're gonna
talk
in the summer.
Now, when agents do it, it's a false deadline. When players do it, it usually is. But at least there's some exceptions there. No, My appetite for these updates.
But that's why. If you're wondering why, I think that's a huge part of it. That people haven't just kicked it to the summer already.
I just believe the guy at this point.
Yeah.
You know, like, I just believe the guy at this point, and I'll look forward to covering the updates when they come.
Very exciting. That's the broadsheet for today.
Why am I cranky about this?
I don't know. Why are you cranky about anything?
I don't know. That's a good point.
I can't answer that question for you. That's between you and your therapist. To the lineup notes, which there are none, because the Canucks remain on a bye this week. Playoff forecast, everything is the same for the Canucks, but there are there are games happening this week. Two real barn burners last night, Trance. Two games on the schedule, a total of 3 combined goals, including the Seattle Kraken losing 2-0 to the San Jose
including
Sharks.
Including Jan Ruda's game sealing.
Yikes. So the Kraken now projected with a 22% chance to make the playoffs.
That was a tough
below
loss.
The Calgary Flames.
Oof.
At 26%. Also well back of the Nashville Predators with a 38% chance to make the playoffs. Now, Minnesota, St. Louis, Arizona, all below that as well. The model not buying the Blues despite their strong play of recently. But, man, tough break. Tough blow for your career. Are you a big enough sicko to have watched those games last night?
Or did you tap out? I watched parts of the Kraken.
Everything burns.
What?
Everything burns.
Is that the Joker? Who is that?
Yes, actually, yeah.
Is it?
Yeah.
Okay.
So that's what watching hockey last night.
Ah, okay.
Right. Yeah. Well, I mean, I was also watching basketball, but I was watching hockey. Yeah. I'm always watching hockey, man.
And then we've got the big Sharks Ducks tonight, the last game before break. All alone on the schedule. 7:30 start. No other games happening. Everyone can tune in.
I'm not
to
is
Sharks
it national?
Ducks.
I'm not gonna.
I mean, I don't know.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I might not watch that one.
See, that one at least has kind of like the car crash quality to it.
We went from, I always got hockey on, man. I might not watch that
no,
one.
No, I'll watch Purdue or something. Anyway.
Purdue hockey?
No, Zach Edey. Anyway, I still think the Kraken are the best of that Stryver crew. That's just my opinion, and we'll see if it plays out. But yeah, they've got a lot of games in hand lost, right? I mean,
yep.
their recent form is mostly goaltending, and that always makes me very nervous I just don't think this team's going to struggle to score as badly as they have. Yeah, they have a little too much talent, but I do think in retrospect, you know, not qualifying Geeky and Sprong, I think was a mistake. I mean, I thought it was a mistake the day of, especially when they replaced them with Yamamoto. I just feel like they're too small up front, and they just don't have as many, like, their plethora of one-shot scorers last year was
outrageous.
Made them imposing.
Yeah.
And to lose two of them, and to lose one of them in particular, maybe the best one in Sprong, just from a pure finishing standpoint, and some size, you know, in the middle six. Yeah, you've seen what Geeky's done in Boston. He's an awesome player. So, yeah. Gambling.
Mm-hmm.
Betting odds. I just want to spotlight this. Canucks over-under for points on the season is up to 109.5 at various books, and there is steam on the over. You can get, like, plus 105 if you think they'll finish with 109 points or less.
You just really got into the drops here in the last 5 minutes.
I'm never sitting on this side.
Also, these drops, like, need to be explained to me. Like, what was that?
That was Michael Scott, right, in the office when he's back from Jamaica.
I love how we just explained to you what Hezbollah is, and now we're explaining to Drance what Michael Scott is.
Sick. No, I know what Michael Scott is. I just didn't get that joke. It's not like the, I don't know. Is that one of his more iconic moments, would you say?
I mean, I don't know about one of his more iconic.
It's
but
it's like a deep cut Michael Scott
reference. No, I wouldn't say a deep cut either.
Deep cut reference.
It's like a mid-tier Michael Scott reference.
I think a mid-tier Michael
Scott reference.
It's no I declare bankruptcy.
Right.
That's a high-end Michael Scott reference right there.
Yeah, or, you know, something from, like, the fire drills.
I declare...
Yes, see, that I would
bankruptcy!
Know...
Bankruptcy!
That's iconic.
That I would know immediately. Dom's obscure drops.
Obscure rushed drops with Dom Cervetti. Anyways, gambling.
I don't even remember what I was saying.
You're one to spotlights. Oh, 109.5 points.
Oh, yeah, steam on the under. So, like, or steam on the over. So not only is there over-under set at 109.5, but there's far more action on the over at this point. Probably should be. What, they're on pace to exceed that by 12 points.
Yeah.
What's Dom's model say? What's he got them projected at?
110 points. So right even, there. Even, in line with the odds.
Even Dom likes the over there.
Yeah, although it is... by the thinnest of margins, wow. But yeah, right there with the betting odds. By the way, Edmonton projected to finish with 108 points.
I mean,
in Dom's model.
Dom's model's in love
yes.
with the Edmonton Oilers. It thinks that they're the best team by a mile.
Yeah, and then Winnipeg still projected to win the West with 111 points. Boston projected to win the President's Trophy with 112 points. All right, anything
but
else?
I just want to say I'm so excited for the big game on February 6th, which is Edmonton at Vegas Golden Knights.
The big game.
You had me.
I've had that game circled on my calendar for so long. Like, the Oilers were like 5 games away from hitting 16, and I was talking about it.
It's a great game.
I'm like giddy about it. I cannot wait.
Josh? I mean, it pales in comparison to the Sharks and the Ducks tonight, but that one should be pretty good.
I still think they should just make that game the All-Star game. That's the game I really want to watch.
This texter says, Dom is going to start using drops to tick you off and force you into breaks. # mental warfare. That's an interesting tactic.
That is smart.
Anyways, that's the whiteboard for today, January 31st, as we are halfway through, more than halfway through. We're 3 shows done on the bye week. And as a reminder, because of the Patrick Alvin news, we pushed our trade idea show to tomorrow.
Sorry, I thought it was the big trade idea show.
The big trade idea show, much
and
like
by the way,
big game.
By the way, just
the
call it by its name. It's the show is called All Your Trade Ideas Suck, and Here's Why. Submit your sucky trade ideas to the 650-650 Dunbar Lumber inbox, and step right up. We've got the big trade show coming up for you tomorrow.
We will do that tomorrow. Jason Bukala will join us, so tune in for that. Get your trade ideas in. Drance is building the Google Doc as we speak, and we'll talk about them tomorrow here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650.